Good morning and welcome to this celebration of Holy Communion on this festival of Pentecost, the 50th day of Easter. Today is the birthday of the Christian Church. The book of the Acts of the Apostles records how the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles with a sound like the rush of a mighty wind and in tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. Immediately they went forth and began to preach to the multitude of pilgrims and visitors who were in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And this event is regarded as the very beginning of the Christian Church. Today is the Sunday we commemorate what happened, the Church's birthday, Whitsunday. Today we welcome as our visiting preacher Canon Rowley Heaney, originally from Annalong, who began his ministry in this diocese as curate of St. Jude's Ballinafay in Belfast, and is now rector of Dungannstown in the Diocese of Dublin and Glendalough. Over recent days on our diocesan website and on YouTube, Rowley has been talking to our bishop, the Right Reverend David MacLay, as they engage in a personal and spiritual walk through aspects of the Holy Spirit. And we are delighted to have him speaking with us during this service on the Feast of Pentecost. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The hymn 301, Let Every Christian Pray.
Thank you. Almighty God.
Almighty God.
To whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God,
our
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, by the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, Chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
We sing the Easter anthems.
The leaven of malice. The epistle is written in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, 295, "Come, Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove."
Come, Father, from afar, from our
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I shall have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
First of all, I want to say what a privilege it is to be asked to speak to you today. For those who don't know who I am, I'm Rolly Heaney. I currently live in Red Cross in County Wicklow. We've been here almost 31 years. I am the rector of the parish of Dungstown Union. I'm married to Susan, who works alongside me, and we have three grown-up children. Originally, however, I'm from South Down, from the Mourns. I grew up in that area and attended Kilhorn Parish Church in Annalong, a church that had a big impact on my life. As a curate, I spent 3 years on the Armour Road in St Jude's Parish, Balnafy, before moving to Lisburn Cathedral for a couple of years and then making the journey south into County Wicklow. So what a privilege it is to be with you today. The day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, here's a question. Was Pentecost just an event that took place 2,000 years ago? Or is it something that's still relevant for us today? Is the Holy Spirit necessary for us, for the church? Do we need the Holy Spirit? Well, when we look at Jesus, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. In Matthew and Luke's Gospel, it tells us that Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was responsible for his birth. But it wasn't until he was about 30 years of age that Jesus began his ministry. He arrives at the River Jordan, where John is baptizing. Now, John wasn't too sure about baptizing him, but Jesus insisted. And this is what happened on that day when Jesus was baptized. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit was poured out upon Jesus. And Jesus, everything changed from that moment. His ministry came to life. He started the mission that he came to achieve. Now, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. How do we know he was full of the Holy Spirit? Well, it tells us directly after his baptism. This is what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus put himself under the control, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him. And that was going to be the pattern for the rest of his ministry. He was going to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And when he was in that wilderness, we know he fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. And it says he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he did, he went to the synagogue. He opened up the scroll. It was the prophet Isaiah. And he read his first public words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Jesus knew that he needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was necessary for his ministry. The Holy Spirit was also necessary for that early church. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they were terrified, frightened. They were hiding away. No way were they going to be able to carry out the mission that Jesus asked them to do. See, sometimes people think that the church began at Pentecost, but the church was there beforehand. From Ascension Thursday, the 10 days until Pentecost, the early followers, that church was together in the upper room. They were praying constantly, but they didn't have any life. They were not able to minister. They didn't have the power to do it. Then, on the day of Pentecost, everything changed. This is what is written in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Quite a dramatic event. I think if you were there, you would have been probably quite frightened. What is actually happening? What's going on here? What is this event that's taking place? And then we see the result. We see what happened. Acts 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And that day, we find then those frightened disciples, their ministry had come alive. No longer were they hiding in a room. They were out in the public place, telling everyone about Jesus. I love the story of how, after Pentecost, Peter and John went up to the temple. And at the gate of the temple, there's a lame beggar. And Peter and John healed him. But not everyone was pleased, because Peter took as an opportunity to be able to preach. And when the religious authorities heard about it, they were annoyed. So they arrested Peter and John and they put them in jail for the night. The next day, Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. Now let's just remember, a few weeks earlier, Jesus himself was before that Sanhedrin. Those religious leaders, the same religious leaders, were the ones who condemned Jesus to death. And when Peter was standing watching what was happening, when he was asked, "You're one of his disciples," he cursed and swore and denied that he knew Jesus. Now Peter is back in the same place. But this time, the Holy Spirit has made such a difference to Peter. It's not the same Peter at all. This is what it says. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was full of the Holy Spirit. See the difference? He said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and this man stands before you healed." This time, there was no denying Jesus. In fact, Peter puts his life on the line and testifies who Jesus truly is. The Holy Spirit made such a difference. It gave him courage, it gave him boldness, it gave him the power to be able to speak out. And that early church completely changed. Power had come to the early church. The Holy Spirit brought power. In fact, this is what Jesus promised the early disciples. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, this is what he said to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." The early church needed that power. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit within the church. Do we, the church today, do we need the Holy Spirit? I want to share a picture with you. It may be relevant, maybe not. Just imagine somebody gives you a gift of a car. One morning, you wake up and this new car is sitting in your garage. You go out, you get into it, it's beautiful. The seats are comfortable. There's that new car smell, which is lovely. And there are plenty of buttons, things to play with. And of course, there's a really good radio. So every week, you go out and you spend an hour sitting in the car and you quite enjoy it. And then every now and again, you think, we need to take the car out of the garage. So the whole family get behind the car and you push it out onto the drive. It's always hard work. The purpose is to impress the neighbours. Let the neighbours see your car. But there's always that disappointment. They never seem to be that concerned. And so, after a while, with your disappointment, you push the car back into the garage again. Thank goodness that's over. And you go back to sitting in the car for your 1 hour every week. Then one day, the person who gave you the gift of the car gets in contact with you. How's the car going? Have you been able to travel around the country yet? Have you seen all the things that you're meant to see? And you say to him, "Well, no. Enjoying the car, but all we've done so far is push it out into the drive. And that's quite hard work. Let's just be content. Let's just sit in the car." And the giver of the car says, "But that's not the purpose of the car. The car is for you to travel, to go out." And then he says, "Have you ever put any petrol in the car?" And you say, "No. Put petrol in the car? Petrol is dangerous, it's flammable. I wouldn't want to put petrol into the car." And then he says, "But that's why the car was created, to have petrol within it. The car can only function properly when it has petrol." You see, I think that can sometimes be a picture of the church today. Maybe not your church, but some churches. You go along for an hour on the Sunday morning. You sit there. It's all very good. It's content. You like it. And then every now and again, you do the outreach. You push the car out, and nothing really ever seems to happen. And you think, goodness, it's all over when you've finished. But that's not what the function of the church is. The function of the church is to go out into all the world. That's the commission that Jesus gave us, to go into all the world and make disciples of all people. We're to go and bring the kingdom of God to others. We are to be witnesses. We are to go and tell people about Jesus. Remember that verse in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? I read the first part of it. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this is what it continues to say. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You are to continue the work of Jesus. You're to continue bringing the kingdom of God into this world. You are to look for the lost sheep. You're to bring in that harvest. That's what the church is for. Not just to something to sit in for an hour on a Sunday morning. The purpose of the church is to witness. The Holy Spirit is still needed. If we want to be those witnesses, we need the Holy Spirit to come. We need the Holy Spirit to be poured into us, to be full of the Holy Spirit. But let's step back a step. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God. He is God who comes and dwells with us. This is what it says in John chapter 14, verses 15 and to 17. These are the words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Spirit that comes to dwell within us. The Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, who comes to us. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 tells us, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? For the Christian needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be born of the Spirit. We also need to be filled with the Spirit. If we're to continue the work of Jesus, to perform the works that Jesus wants us to do, we need the Holy Spirit. How do we receive this Holy Spirit? This is my story. I was a curate in St. Jude's in Belfast when my rector, Canon Billy Moore, once a day said to me, there's a conference coming up, a three-day conference in the Assemblies building. Would you like to go to it? And I thought, work or a three-day conference? Definitely a three-day conference. I went along not really knowing anything about this conference. There was somebody called John Wimber who was speaking. I didn't know who John Wimber was. And when I got there, I was slightly suspicious because John Wimber wasn't dressed with a shirt and tie like most speakers. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt and jeans. But I found it really interesting. He was speaking about the book of Acts, but not as history, but as the church today. And then he said something which I never heard before. If anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come down to the front here and you'll be prayed for. Now, John Wimber had a team of about 30 people from California with him. I was up in the balcony at the time. The place was absolutely packed out, and probably was about 1,000 people there. Quite a few of those people knew me. And I thought, I'm not going to make a fool of myself by walking down there to walk up to that stage for somebody, a stranger, to pray with me. So I did a deal with God. I said to God, if you want me to receive this Holy Spirit, I want somebody from the stage, two of those Americans down there, I want them to come up here to the balcony to pray with me. Thinking that was a pretty safe prayer. A few minutes later, I was standing and appeared straight in front of me were two people with American accents. Would you like us to pray for you? I knew I was God. So I stood, I closed my eyes, and allowed them to pray, and they simply prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. At that moment, all I can describe it, it was like a wave of liquid love flowing over me. It completely changed, transformed my life. I was brought up in a Christian home. I went to an amazing church in Annalong. I heard the gospel. I knew Jesus. I was born again of the Spirit. I spent a few years in the Church of Ireland Centre of Queens. Again, a great time of formation in my life. But up to then, I only knew that God loved me. On that day when the Holy Spirit came into my life, I experienced the love of God. Since then, my life and my ministry has not been the same. It has been transformed and changed. And all I want to do is to live in harmony with the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit in my life, to be full of the Holy Spirit every day. That is my desire. And I believe it's God's desire for each one of us. He wants each one of us to receive that Holy Spirit. This is what it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. This is the passage on prayer. And Jesus says, "If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Do you want to ask today to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Very simply, just come humbly to God, realizing we can't do it. Only He can put His Holy Spirit into us. It is the Father's gift to us, but we must be willing to receive it. Our bodies are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we pure and holy so the Holy Spirit can actually dwell within us? Maybe we need to confess, repent, turn away from sin. But then, invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you poured your Holy Spirit onto Jesus. We thank you that you poured your Holy Spirit onto the early church. We ask today that you will pour your Holy Spirit into our lives, that we may do the work that Jesus wants us to do, that we will become more like Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we will produce the fruit that the Holy Spirit gives. So come, Holy Spirit. Come into my life today. Fill me afresh. Fill me up with your power. Fill me with your love. Fill me with the life that you want me to have. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, grant to the Church strength, wisdom, and judgment through the Holy Spirit. Release in your people the power of a living witness to the whole world, fulfilling your command to those who seek to follow you in truth. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, for this group of parishes, and in particular, those preparing for confirmation, for the parish of Carnalee and the rector, Canon Michael Parker. As we reconnect in person over coming weeks and months, may the Holy Spirit continue to renew and inspire us in all we do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, have mercy on a world where there is often speech without communication, relationships without love, and where people are separated by barriers of race and nationality. Send your Holy Spirit to show men and women their true needs and teach them to live together without fear. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnston, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Brendan Lewis, and the government. The First Minister, Arlene Foster, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, Tánaiste, Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, grant us right judgment in our families and friendships and work. May we know your presence in every situation, although still kept apart in some circumstances at present. May that unbroken harmony be shown in all our relationships. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. We pray as well for all who suffer from coronavirus or are recovering from its effects. Give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick and your wisdom in administering the vaccine rollout. We pray for all who have lost loved ones over the past year and whose grief has been lonely. Grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember those who now rejoice in the perfect knowledge and unclouded vision of your nearer presence. May their example strengthen and prepare us for the coming of joy made complete and love made perfect in your heavenly kingdom. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Hymn 313, The Spirit Came as Promised. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All glory and honour, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. By the same Spirit we are led into all truth and given power to proclaim with boldness the glorious gospel to all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Saviour Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Who in the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again, giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Saviour has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Faithful God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Almighty God,
We thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The Spirit of truth lead you into all truth. Give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to proclaim the words and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. We sing the hymn 303, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing.
Christ,
Go in the peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
We thank you for your presence and participation in this morning service. It has been good to have you with us, wherever you are, and wherever you come from. On this coming Friday evening, there will be confirmation class in the parochial hall in Annahilt at 7 o'clock. Sunday next is Trinity Sunday, the online service from 10 a.m. will follow the order of morning prayer and the litany. A similar order of service will take place in church at 10 o'clock in Annahilt and 12 noon in Mara Hamlet. Thank you.